Hello, and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 68.
This week on the podcast, hundreds of GOP politicians find inspiration in Texas and decide that they don't like having female supporters either.
North Carolina takes on the biggest threats of them all, Sharia law and voting.
Obama's doing what he does best, chipping away at his one achievement.
And a tragic human interest story tailor-made for CNN and podcast BFF Jill takes up all 24 hours of the news cycle.
Egypt stages a coup in order to save democracy.
And Brazil's experiments with the Olympics continue. Meanwhile, Tulsa's experiment is just getting started.
Plus, we have some tips and tricks that will come in handy during your next transit strike experience.
Seriously, you're not going to want to miss these. All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This is Brain Trust Live.
Well, it's Lifestyle Issue Month here on the podcast.
It really is.
And in America.
My favorite month.
The best month of the year. The month when all the legislative sessions end and everyone tries to cram through as much offensive legislation as they can.
Yeah. We've seen, you know, you got to hand it to them, I guess, right?
There's some sneaking going on here.
A lot of sneaking.
Plenty of sneaking. This week was a big week for sneaking abortion legislation into state houses across America. Also, it was the beginning of Texas's second special session.
Sure.
So welcome back, Texas legislature.
This time with feeling.
This time with a lot of feeling, because they only have one point of point of order.
They're just going to special legislative up a storm, basically.
Yeah, they're going to specially legislate a law prohibiting abortions in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
That's their entire agenda. They have a month to do it. No one can filibuster for a full month, so they're on, you know... The Democrats have said that they are...
Wendy Davis's
record is only 11 hours, but...
She could do a month.
She can go up to a month, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats did say that they might try some delaying tactics of sorts.
Right. Gave no details.
Didn't give any details, because there's no such thing as a delaying tactic that delays a one-purpose special session
for 30 days. Right. Also, there's nothing... That is a delaying tactic that is not a filibuster.
Exactly.
But I'm aware of. Anyway.
Well, I mean, I guess you can have various dumb procedural votes for the rest of time if you want, but there's nothing that I can think of that would delay a single issue session for a full month.
They're just, the reason that we found out as we were doing some research, the reason that the Texas legislature is so worried about getting this done, I think, is because...
They're not meeting for years now.
They don't work that often. That's why they have to keep calling these special sessions, because they work like...
They work for like 140 days every 2 years.
Every other year.
So
they really...
They need to get this done now, or it may never get done.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
This is something that I think... We actually learned about, because I think last year, we were talking about the New York State Legislature, and I had learned that it's considered a part-time job. Part of the reason that in California and New York and every big state, there are so many conflicts of interest in the state house is because everyone has a full-time job outside of their job of legislating. And I'm sort of like, why can't we just pay them to be there full-time, call it a full-time job, prohibit them from going and working in the financial industry or
exactly.
as lobbyists or whatever in their free time?
Right.
And call it a day. But in Texas, they have a year and a half worth of time to fill between legislative sessions. So what would they do?
I don't know.
But I mean, also, what happens if they need a law next year for some issue that crops up?
They don't in Texas.
They just, that's true. There's no laws needed. There's no laws needed. Well,
they're probably,
sort of lawless land.
I was going to say, they're probably intentionally working this little.
Exactly.
so as to not pass any laws.
Yeah. That's, but this is the kind of law they can really get behind because it prohibits something that people like.
Well, and it doesn't help anybody.
So they're going to pass this abortion law
whether it's
literally the last thing they do for the next 2 years. And so they went back on Monday. There was a big protest that greeted the legislators as they came back and celebrated Wendy Davis as she came back and delivered a speech that I'm sure was inspiring and awesome. People are really talking about her running for governor. I think...
They are?
I mean, I think that this was... You don't plan a 13-hour filibuster that even if it ends up being 11 hours, you don't plan a filibuster that long without thinking about what will... And that's a national story.
Well,
so, like,
right,
obviously they were thinking of putting someone forward who could be a gubernatorial candidate.
Right. And, and you and I talked last week that not only a gubernatorial candidate, but, I mean, just in the sense... Like, she was obviously chosen because she was... capable of doing something like that, where there's probably not a lot of people, you know, bless their hearts, sitting around the Texas State House that are able to, like, speak 11 hours consecutively on one topic in any sort of coherent manner.
So, yeah. And certainly no one with such an appropriate backstory. Exactly. I mean, she sort of has everything. She's the full package. I like, this is the sort of activist's worst fear. When there's a protest, the media always reports it as being thousands of people. Doesn't matter, or hundreds. If it was close to the lower thousands, it would be hundreds of people. If a million people came, they sometimes go as low as tens of thousands.
Sure.
Or hundreds of thousands is the sort of traditional way that you sum up a million people in the American press. In Italy, they'll report like 4 million people without a problem. They don't care. But so Reuters reported that thousands of people met Wendy Davis. The AP reported that more than 5,000 people. Sure. I'm calling it 10,000.
Well, that's more than five.
That's more than five. Let's call it a million.
Yeah.
That's more than five, too.
Well, once you're not putting an actual number on it and you're saying over 5,000, then you can just call it
any number is possible.
Yeah. But this is what I think about. Like, it's impressive that in Texas,
right,
that many people showed up at this. And this is what I think happens when you try and sneak things through like this. We're going to talk about some other states coming up here. But, I mean, you really sort of, like, people, Democrats and pro-choice people have never been this fired up there. And they have never been out in this many numbers before. No. And it's because they tried to do this in such
a
nefarious way. And the same thing is probably going to happen in Ohio and Wisconsin and North Carolina, the other states that we're going to get to, because they were up to some crazy-ass shit this week, too.
I mean, Arkansas and North Dakota have laws that prohibit abortion well before 20 weeks. And they didn't face this kind of... I mean, who would even get to... How would you get to North Dakota for that kind of protest? Nobody knows.
No one even knows
if women are living in that state. We have no way of confirming or denying that.
Well, there's not, quote, thousands of people to show up at the North Dakota Statehouse. Because...
Yeah, but...
Unless you're dealing with cattle.
I feel like what's funny about Democrats in Texas is they have some really good, strong Democrats in Texas. Like Jim Hightower is a Texan. Like, some of the Texas Democrats are hilarious, A, and B... are, like, really strong voices. But it's like one, it's like being a Democrat in a place that's even more sprawly than California. Like, how do you even find... Like, you can't amass thousands of people there.
I know.
Because the place is giant.
Well, that's everyone, what's impressive.
Everyone is huge, and they all live a million miles away from each other, and they have to drive pickup trucks to get to each other.
Yeah.
So, it's... So, this is impressive. I think it's going to grow, especially because it's... Other states are following suit. You know, Natalie Maines was there, as you might not be surprised to hear. She was there, you know, carrying signs and, I mean, talking to the crowd. That was carrying signs. I don't know that she was carrying a sign. I haven't confirmed that. In any case, Texas, when it passes this, will be the 13th state to pass the 20-week abortion ban. 20 weeks being the number of weeks that some fake group declared that it, like, apparently after 20 weeks, according to a fake study that has been debunked, fetuses can feel pain.
Right.
So that's why 20 weeks is the focus of all of these states. Well, and that's why, Arizona has a law like that, but they also decided that...
All women are pregnant.
Women are pregnant all the time, so they were able to determine that 20 weeks could come at any time.
Sure.
Because 20 weeks from any date is now.
It's true.
So that's how they got around it in Arizona. I think Arkansas.
You both just became pregnant and have also been pregnant for 20 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm a miracle of science in Arizona. I think Arkansas and North Dakota are the only states that have legislated before 20 weeks, because that's the number of weeks that they sort of claim, that gets everyone riled up, the 20-week thing.
The thing about this is, and Wendy Davis kept hitting this in all of her interviews too, because they're passing, this is being billed as a law that basically, like, stops abortions after 20 weeks. That hardly ever happens.
Only 1.5% of abortions happen after 20 weeks.
And, like, 80% of the public agrees that you shouldn't be having an abortion. I mean, that's 5 months into your pregnancy. I think that's sort of... I think most people most people with consciences would think that at that point you should have maybe
you've known you're pregnant
decided
for a while.
Already. You knew that you were pregnant. Like, you've had enough time to make sort of, like, an intelligent choice about what you want to do. But the problem is not with this bill, and the is not the 20-week situation, and that's not the problem with the bill in most of the other places who are doing it.
It's
the
that it shuts down clinics.
Is that it's shutting down clinics. And Wendy Davis kept saying that. She was in every interview she was doing, she was like, this is an omnibus bill. It has worse things in it than the 20-week ban. The 20-week ban is sort of inconsequential to most people.
The issue is that the 20-week ban only affects people with life-threatening pregnancy condition. Like, the 20-week ban, if it doesn't include exceptions for life of the mother, life of the child, whatever,
that's a problem.
It only ends up affecting people who have, like, horrible, you know, issues with the pregnancy, or women who couldn't afford an abortion earlier on. So, even, I mean, the 20-week ban, though, is never the worst part of these bills.
No, it's not.
It's always something.
But that's how they get it through, because that's sort of like the headline of the bill.
20 weeks,
and then they can sort of, like, everybody can, at least in the public, can get behind it, not realizing what else.
Right, that it's also going to make it impossible to get an abortion any other time.
Right, exactly.
That 20 weeks is just an arbitrary date.
Right.
Well, also, 20 weeks is an arbitrary date because
it's made up.
It's made up science.
Right.
There's not a reason to decide that at 20 weeks. That 20 weeks is the cutoff for any sort of thing. Meanwhile, Rick Perry was also making the rounds, trying to run for president, / being a complete asshole.
Oh my gosh.
What an asshole.
We talked about this last week, because he sort of caught some flack for, like, talking about, like, how, you know, Wendy Davis was, you know,
basically saying that Wendy Davis should be happy that she wasn't aborted.
Correct.
Basically. That was the gist of what he said.
Right. And he was asked on Fox News, of course, this week, whether he regretted that, and he was like,
nope.
Well, I meant it as a compliment.
Right.
And then he also said that she should be proud that she wasn't aborted. She should be proud that her mother didn't abort her,
was
basically what he said.
I was unwanted, but my mom had me anyway, and I'm so excited about that.
Like, stop talking about this. Like, this is like a dumb Republican male problem. Like, they just don't know what, like, he has to be smart enough to know that this is dumb.
Yeah.
He's not. Is the problem.
That is the problem.
But I mean, like, it's so mind-boggling why you, just stop it.
Yep.
For the same reason, like,
here's
everybody for the same reason that all of the Republican women sort of, like, were like, stop talking about rape so much. Like, stop talking about, like, how it's great that you didn't get aborted. Like, that's,
there are other men that know, too. Like, it's, Brent knows.
I know.
He's not gonna get pregnant, but he knows. Like, it's not hard to know. None of this, like, what boggles my mind is that Rick Perry exists in a world that women also exist in. It's not like he lives in a vacuum of all men. He doesn't work at the Catholic Church. It's, like, it just sort of, like, is mind-boggling that he doesn't have enough social awareness as a politician to know when to stop talking. I mean, and that boggled my mind about the rape caucus people, too, is I was like, they have wives. They have mothers. Like, they know women. They don't respect them, but they know them.
Yes.
Like, they're trying to get elected with their votes. Women make up 52% of the population. You want them to vote for you. You don't want to piss off all women. Women are the biggest minority majority there is, as far as voting demographics go.
Sure.
And Republicans are working steadily at, alienating every other kind of minority. They want to alienate any kind of racial minority. They want to alienate gays. They should not be trying to alienate women, too.
It's so funny.
That is everyone else.
I know. It's so funny that they're continuing on this path after what just happened in the last election. Like, basically, everything that they claim to have learned from the last election, to women not voting for them, to Hispanics not voting for them. The House is sure to harpoon the immigration bill here shortly. I mean, literally every single thing that they claimed to have learned, they clearly have not learned.
Well, they didn't learn, because what they did while they were claiming all of that, the only people that were claiming that were minority members of their own party, and they just basically alienated those guys, too.
I know.
Bobby Jindal was out there claiming that he learned the lesson.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, because no one listens to Bobby Jindal.
No.
You know? Marco Rubio can go on about immigration reform till the cows come home, but at the end of the day, Republicans don't even like him, let alone other Hispanic immigrants.
Yeah.
He's not even an immigrant. But, like, you know, it's what happens when you cloister yourself with only other white men. Well, it's like the Catholic Church. You just start to deny that the problem that's an obvious problem exists.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, oh, we're all pederasts? No, we're not. It's not a problem. We're not. Like, that's what ends up happening.
Yeah.
But Rick Perry is also, this is important because he's thinking of running for president, as he basically implied at all these interviews that he was giving.
He did not rule out, he was asked, it was in the same interview, actually, it was a John Roberts interview on Fox News, and they asked him, So he has some important announcement that he's making tomorrow, and he won't tell anybody what it is. But he was on all the shows this week, of course, so everybody's asking about it. And so John Roberts said, well, was pressing him, was like, is it that you're running for president? He said, well, certainly that's an option out there.
You don't make a random announcement just to review the options that are out there.
I have a feeling that's not what it's going to be.
It can't be way early to be declaring your candidacy for president. Also, don't declare your candidacy for president when you've just called a special session that's wildly unpopular to pass a bill that no one wants.
I'm wondering if it's that he's not running for governor.
Oh, maybe. That's not an announcement. Don't make that announcement, Rick Perry. Don't do anything.
I mean, that's just speculation.
Sit at home, lock your doors,
right this moment,
do not answer the phone. No, I think that's probably what it is. That sounds right.
Right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he's quitting tomorrow. He's pulling Sarah Palin.
Maybe he's
not finishing his... He's quitting.
Let's hope it's that. If we can hope anything, it's that he's announcing tomorrow before this legislation gets passed and he gets strung up for being an asshole, that he's just going to quit. He's called the special session. They'll do what they're going to do. There'll be no governor to sign the bill, so it's fine. Yeah. But even at the federal level, people were getting into the anti-abortion stand.
Well, since it's proved so popular in Texas, Marco Rubio couldn't help but jump on the bandwagon.
He, too, wants a 20-week abortion. But which, P.S., I mean, the House has passed like a million of these, just like they've also repealed Obamacare 37 times. So they're up to a lot of nonsense.
Right, but the thing
he's going to introduce in the Senate, it's not going to pass. It's potentially unconstitutional. The only thing it could do is get held up in court. That's literally the only thing it can do.
And not only that, like, his bill, we were just talking about, like, how the 20-week ban only affects 1.5% of people, and then it usually only ends up affecting people who sort of, like,
absolutely have to make the
choice. And his bill gives exceptions for those people.
Except it doesn't make an exception for women's health, for the health of the woman. So he doesn't give a shit if you need an abortion because you're going to die. He just wants to protect your fetus long enough to kill them via capital punishment later on.
But I have a feeling of that 1.5%, there's probably at least, I would say, maybe half of those. I mean, I'm making this up now at this point. But, I mean, you would think that with the exceptions that he does add, this bill probably now is only affecting maybe
0.75%. Yeah, exactly.
So it's just sort of like, to a certain degree, I mean...
It's also, though, it's without the exception for the women's health, symbolically, it's problematic because the only line they ever use with these is that it's to protect the health of the woman.
That's true.
It's all about women's health. They've really co-opted the term women's health. A lot of pro-choice organizations have stopped using the language of pro-choice because it sort of confuses people and sort of makes an issue that's actually, like, fairly cut and dry. Most people agree that people should be able to have abortions. Most people, not everyone thinks that they would want to have an abortion, but most people agree that it should be up to you and, you know, that it's not really any of their business. But a lot of these bills and a lot of the sort of symbolic value of these bills rests on language. And it really has sort of broader implications. It's not really about abortion. It's about the way reproduction and women are treated. It's about penalizing women for having sex before marriage. It's about all of these other things that it's always been about. And so symbolically, to not make an exception for women's health is sort of like saying, well, you deserve to die. You shouldn't have had sex if you didn't want to die of a pregnancy, you know, issue.
Well, and let me tell you why Rubio, of all people, is introducing this bill in the Senate. Because he's on the base's shit list for this immigration bill.
Yeah.
This is
trying to win back.
This is smoke and mirrors, like nothing to see here with the immigration bill.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to get you some anti-abortion bill passed here in the Senate.
He's a fool, though, anyway, because... He's running in Florida. He doesn't represent North Dakota.
No.
He should want his base wants an immigration bill. There's crazies in Florida too.
Sure.
But those crazies don't have someone better to vote for, so they'll vote for him anyway. But like in Florida, he can rest on like the Cuban vote and some other vote, you know, votes that do want to see some sort of immigration reform. He doesn't need this crazy Tea Party nonsense.
No.
But anyway, already...
He does if he's running for president.
Yeah, that's true. There's already three of those 20-week abortion laws stuck in court.
Yeah.
There's sure to be more as these pass. Every time that one of these laws passes, Planned Parenthood basically files a motion to sort of halt any action on the law until someone can determine whether it's constitutional.
Yeah.
None of these laws are constitutional. The Supreme Court ruled that you can't limit a woman's right to have an abortion... These blatantly limit it. Whether or not, if a woman wants to have an abortion at a million weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court protected that right. That right doesn't...
No, I know.
These laws don't hold up.
The Supreme Court protected that right. So just because every single state in the union decides to shut down all of their abortion clinics doesn't
mean,
like...
Doesn't mean that you don't have the right... You have the right to get an abortion after 20 weeks. Whether or not your state is willing to follow your constitutional right to do that is another issue. But you constitutionally have the right to pursue whatever path you want in life. And if that path includes having an abortion at 27 weeks, that is your right. They're not allowed to actually stop you from doing that.
Right.
They are allowed to pass any law that they want saying anything. They can also pass laws that, as we're going to talk about later, that you can't, you know, pass Sharia law in a state and attach that to an abortion law. So they can pass any law that
you
they
do
want.
Do whatever they want.
But that doesn't mean that those laws hold up in court.
No, it doesn't.
But a lot of other states passed laws or are close to passing laws or are discussing passing laws.
In secret.
In secret. Yeah. Well, they learned their lesson from Texas.
They absolutely
Scott Walker sort of secretly signed an anti-abortion measure.
Yeah.
And then sent like an email on Friday afternoon.
He didn't
Who was it that sent an email out at 3 a.m. to their supporters endorsing Romney?
Oh, Santorum.
Santorum, yeah.
Yes.
He pulled a Santorum.
He did, yeah.
And this is not the first time that he's done that, because in 2012, he also secretly signed other anti-abortion
measures.
That's because
everything that he is signing needs to be done in secret.
Yeah, because he's not ever signed anything good.
No, he's not signing anything that anybody wants him to sign.
One of the least... if anyone knows what it's like to have a ton of protesters descend on your city...
Too true.
And to descend on your capital, that would be Scott Walker.
Scott Walker, yeah.
So he's trying to avoid any of that nonsense, because they've already dealt with that once. His law is... a mandatory ultrasound law that will also, as is always the case, require doctors to get admitting privileges at local hospitals.
A classic maneuver.
That's a classic maneuver that closes every clinic in the state, usually. These mandatory... I want to take a moment to discuss mandatory ultrasound laws.
Please.
As another example of ways in which these laws don't have anything to do with women's health. Because they always get... This too, I'm sure, and like every other law that... There are other ones that are passed... other mandatory ultrasound laws that got passed this week. They always, you know, they're always cloaked in the language of women's health. And is mentally torturing women an element of their health that I'm not aware of? Because it's a difficult decision to get an abortion. Women don't just, like, casually get abortions, usually. It's, first of all, it's surgery, so you don't just casually do it anyway. But second of all, it's not like something you just sort of, like, come to one day and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to abort this thing. I'm annoyed.
Yeah, I know,
like,
exactly.
That's not the way that a decision to have an abortion gets made. It's literally psychological warfare to force women then to go see ultrasounds of the baby before...
Well, the Ohio law, which we're going to get to next, I believe, actually takes it one step
further. It takes it one step further. We're going to get to that in a second. But I wanted to first discuss mandatory ultrasound laws while we had the moment, because they serve no medical purpose. It's a medical procedure that costs money that has no relevance to health or anything else.
Right.
Your ultrasound doesn't look like anything, P.S. Like, I don't know who it's convincing not to get abortions.
Unless it's one of those... Have you seen those 4D ultrasounds?
Oh, no. That sounds creepy.
It's terrifying. Where it's
I don't
like,
think I'd want to see my own organs like an actual, on one like, of those ultrasounds.
It's like, you can actually, like, see the sort of, like, face and, like, what the... They're super creepy looking.
Here's an issue, though. Fetuses before 20 weeks, when they even allow this, don't have faces.
Well,
they look like
no,
fish. They look like fish that are the size of, like, grains of rice.
Do you want me to tell you how I know about this 4D ultrasound really quick? This is taking this is taking us on
I'm
a
nervous,
separate road
but
for
sure.
A I was having a late night marathon one night of a show that's highly embarrassing, but I feel like it needs talked about.
Yeah.
It's called Pregnant and Dating.
Oh.
On Wii.
Oh, no.
How I landed on this, I have no idea, but it was so terrifying.
Well, they have I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. They have the birth story one.
This is all about, like, these four or five women who are just sort of, like, and it's kind of, like, presented in, like, a Real Housewives style,
oh,
almost,
God.
Sort of, whatever. Like, who are just, their whole storyline is just that they're, you know, they're all pregnant and they're trying to find the one.
I am basically. Making a face right now.
No, it's terrifying. But one of them had one of these creepy ultrasounds.
Ugh.
Super creepy.
Gross.
But anyway. Go.
Moral of the story is that forcing someone to get an unnecessary medical... It's like forcing people to get an ultrasound before having, like, a colonoscopy or something like that. Like, it's just, like, an unnecessary thing that costs money, takes time, is only intended to play with your thoughts and emotions.
Yeah.
And serves no medical purpose. And forcing unnecessary medical procedures on women at a in a country where medical procedures are not that accessible to most people.
Right, from a party who is all about, you know, freedom and
Why don't we give these ultrasounds to people that need them that can't afford them? Because there are plenty of people out there. And yeah. these are people that don't want to pay for prenatal care. So they like forcing you to get an ultrasound before you abort a fetus, but they're not going to give you an ultrasound if you actually need to see it because you're having it. I mean, these people can all go screw themselves. Yeah. They only care about the lives of the unborn as long as they remain unborn and not bothersome. if they're planning to be born, if they already are born, they don't care about any of those lives. No. They only care about the lives of the theoretical unborn. It's infuriating. Anyway, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and the ACLU filed a lawsuit to put a stay on this bill.
Which they do every time.
So I don't know why people.
And usually they
succeed because these bills are all blatantly unconstitutional.
Right. This is probably something that's going to get heard at the Supreme Court next year. I was listening to when they were talking about sort of like all the crazy things that the Supreme Court heard this year. Like they're probably going to hear an abortion case because there's so many of these laws coming up right now because of Planned Parenthood, basically. You know,
yeah.
Filing in, and
well, every state has now tried to,
because like most of the courts that hear these cases at least declare them unconstitutional enough to declare an injunction and then send them to a different court. So they usually get stopped.
I am very worried about this being heard at the Supreme Court level in any year that is soon.
I know.
This is the kind of thing that I think. First of all, I mean, the Supreme Court would be foolish to overturn Roe v. Wade. Because that would discredit them to a degree that's... Because this is a blatantly ideological thing. This is the sort of thing where if you morally think that abortion is wrong, you think that you have... And that's a religious belief that doesn't affect those of us with no religion, you know? No. I don't have moral qualms about abortions because I don't have a religious belief that prohibits me from thinking... You know, that's... Sure. It's also the kind of thing that I think... First of all, women... all know that women need access to those services sometimes, even when they don't believe in abortion, women get abortions, because this is the kind of issue that really can only really affect women. It can affect men sort of tangentially, but reproduction is sort of the burden of women exclusively. And so this type of, like, if the Supreme Court overturns Roe or gets, you know, does something that allows them to prohibit abortion, this is going to cause some kind of chaos, because women are not this. It's not 1900 anymore. Like women do sort of like expect to be treated at least a little bit equally, and also know that reproduction is sort of their burden.
Yeah,
like this is something that like people who come from conservative backgrounds know too. Like women know this. Men don't always know this. It's all men that are, you know, pushing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that would discredit the court to a degree that would. I don't know what would happen at that point. Maybe nothing.
Probably nothing.
But I mean, they've stayed shy of making those kinds of decisions. They didn't overturn Obamacare, or they didn't declare Obamacare illegal. They didn't legalize gay marriage, but they recognized the rights of gay couples at a state level. Like they have gone shy of making those kinds of large sweeping changes.
My concern was that they would do the same, in that it would be one of these court cases brought against a state, and that they would say that the state has
the right to do whatever they want.
That would be my
concern. But the state doesn't have the right to do what they want when they've already declared that this is a constitutional right.
I mean, I agree, but that would just be my fear as to what.
Oh no, do, I'm probably. That's my fear too.
Yeah,
and I mean, actually, I was talking about this with my mom, because my mom was sort of like, "Do you think that the gay rights movement has any concerns that this kind of backlash will hit them? Because this is a backlash." This was settled years ago, this issue.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think now we can sort of feel like, okay, like the idea that gays should be able to get married is settled. Like, that should be allowed. Also, I don't know if you can hear this barking dog, but I can.
It's not yours.
Yeah.
No.
Just barking out in the street. Just some mystery neighbor dog just barking around. But in any case, I wonder if there will be some sort of legislative backlash at the state level against that ruling as well at some point in the future when no one expects it. Because who's expecting... When did we all decide that we needed to start legislating against abortion again?
I know.
Like, weren't we over it?
Like, what...
What moment were we all like, let's all do this?
I know.
We don't have any women voters as it is. So let's make sure that no woman ever votes for the Republican Party ever again. Ohio is doing their part.
Oh, my God. And this bill is bonkers.
Is bonkers.
John Kasich signed this. He also sort of, like, did it in secret, basically. Yeah. Sort of, like, I think they reported that he sort of, like, walked out of the state house, like, unannounced or something, like, after he had done it.
Well,
or something
he would want to do this secretly because this bill is... I hope this bill gets taken to court.
Like, bucket full of crazy.
This is a bucket full of crazy. It also has a mandatory ultrasound.
It has all of the awesomeness that the Wisconsin bill has.
Plus more.
And the plus more is really what got me because I was reading this and I was like, all right, this is the usual.
You know, they're defunding Planned Parenthood. But they're getting rid of rape crisis centers. They're doing all of that kind of stuff.
But now, not only if a woman develops. Like some sort of like issue during the abortion, she cannot be taken to a public hospital.
She would have to go find a private hospital to receive care.
Like now, in the midst of her health crisis.
Yeah.
She can't go to a public
hospital. They're prohibiting public hospitals from treating people who've had abortions, basically. Who have had complications with their abortions.
That's some free Roe shit.
My mom is in the process of writing something about her own experience having an illegal abortion, but one of the things that she mentioned was that before she had her illegal abortion, she had a situation where she had a spontaneous miscarriage, like very early in a pregnancy that she didn't even know she had because it was so early. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor needed to basically provide a similar type of thing to an abortion in order to get the tissue out that would have gotten infected otherwise because she wasn't actually pregnant anymore. But she had to prove that she wasn't pregnant. So she got three chances to take a pregnancy test according to state law. And if all of those came back positive, he couldn't treat her. Yeah. So, because then he would be caused, even though he knew and she knew that there was no fetus. Like, the fetus had gone away.
Right. Just to follow these dumb rules.
Right. He had to give her three pregnancy tests. Now, the issue is that because the tissue that was causing potential infection was still inside of her uterus, she was still registering as pregnant. And so it was like a catch-22. Like, in order to get the treatment to get the tissue out...
She couldn't get a negative pregnancy test.
In order to get the treatment that she needed, they had to basically... I mean, she doesn't know this for sure, but the doctor had her perform... She registered as pregnant twice, and so he had her go to his private lab for the third test. And she thinks he might have covered up the results because it mysteriously came back not pregnant. And she was able to get a DNC, which is the sort of standard abortion treatment that you get, or the standard the procedure that you also get if you're having an abortion. But basically, if she had registered as positive again on that test, she would have had to go get an illegal abortion for something for a spontaneous miscarriage.
Right.
Because of the state law, because of a law like this that basically prevented people in the actual medical community from treating her for a condition that had occurred naturally that had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
It's infuriating.
Well, it is.
That's real infuriating.
Yeah, it is.
That one infuriated me more than her inability to actually get an abortion. Because that was sort of like, that was really not her fault.
No.
That was like, they don't know what her intentions were with that pregnancy that she didn't know about. They couldn't have speculated at the state level about that.
No, there was no reason
to believe that she had nefarious plans for that pregnancy.
Nope.
All that they could do was treat her for a condition that had occurred naturally, and yet she had to jump through all these hoops. So, in any case... That's why these types of... This law, I don't think, could possibly hold up in court. First of all, that the mandate of a public hospital is to treat you for whatever, regardless.
You can't send somebody away from a public hospital because they've had some health issue due to an abortion. That's crazy.
That's like being like, oh, I see that you cut your finger off, but you because of a pre-existing condition being stupidity, we can't treat you because...
I know.
Like, that's like, at that point, they can decide not to treat you for any condition.
Well, yeah.
Stupidity could be one of them. You know, clumsiness could be another. Like, oh, we don't treat people who have sprained ankles because we don't, you know, because we don't believe that you should be so clumsy as to get one. Like, that's infuriating. And that's why we know that women's health is not the main objective of this law.
No, it's not.
Because they don't give a shit about women's health because if a woman's health is in jeopardy, they don't want you to get treatment. They want you to die.
They want to punish you. This is about punishment.
For... Having sex.
For having sex, for getting pregnant in the first place, more than likely out of wedlock, probably, if you're thinking about getting an abortion. Not always, certainly. I mean, it's just, it really
is...
These are
from the same people who don't want you to have access to birth control.
Of course.
That's why I always say, that's why I was saying before that it's like broader than just being about pregnancy. It's about control.
It's not,
it's a sort of broadly sexist agenda that has nothing really to do with pregnancy. It's just that this is the means with which you can control
and
women.
And I think there are a lot of women who realize that, but
Probably not enough.
I think there are not enough women who realize
that. It's going to grow. The number who realizes it is going to grow.
I wish that more women grasped that that's what's going on here. Because I think if more women grasped that that's what was happening, I think there would be even pro-life women who would probably start to see that this is a problem.
You know,
because,
I had a friend in college who was rapidly pro-life. She went to a Catholic school, had been Catholic her whole life, and I was literally the first person ever to say to her, well, just don't have an abortion then. But, why do you need to care if I have one?
Well, this is one of my dear friends from
high school
and college was adopted, and she was very pro-life, and it was always because she felt like the other option was that she could have been aborted. And I sort of would say the same thing to her. It was just like, well, I mean, it's...
You don't have to make the choice.
It's great that your mother made that choice, but you could make the same choice, too. You could counsel other women to make the same choice yourself if you wanted to.
But you don't need to squash their right to... It's infuriating because it is so... It's the kind of thing that... It's very clearly based in a religious ideology, and it's sort of like, but I mean, can't you just respect that it's your ideology and that you don't have to have one, and that on a legislative level, this doesn't affect you?
Yeah, it's the same.
It doesn't affect her. It doesn't affect any of them if I have an abortion.
No, it's the same reason straight people don't have to get gay married.
Exactly. Actually, my mom made that point too. She was like, it goes back to your old point, Lila, about straight people not needing to get gay married.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. No one's forcing you to get gay married. Nope. No one's forcing you to get an abortion.
Nope.
And I think that many pro-life people would be against people being forced to have abortions. I certainly would not support a policy that forced people to have abortions.
No.
I think we can draw the line there.
I think so, too.
There's not... allowing abortion and forcing them is not the same thing. But in any case...
So, Ohio's was probably the most, insane one, but... North Carolina's was probably
was
the most, ridiculous
for the
broadest, because it really, they weren't going to stop just at abortion.
No.
Because they had big fish to fry in this bill.
Right.
Including outlawing Sharia law.
Yeah.
Which they packaged with the anti-abortion bill.
Ironically, first of all, there were a few things that were ironic about this that Brett and I were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
One is that you don't need to ban something that's unconstitutional.
Correct.
That's like banning free speech.
Well, and it's like I said, once you're sort of operating as a legislative body not under Sharia law, then obviously Sharia law is not really an issue because nobody's using it.
Exactly.
So it would be sort of like banning, I don't know, I can't even think of
it. There's not a good
example. Banning something that's not happening anyway.
Yeah. Banning biblical law, which we're going to discuss.
No.
There's someone in California who's planning to run on that platform exclusively.
I would like to ban biblical law because...
It's not going well for us so far.
No.
It's not going well. And Brent is saying that. Brent is a Christian and he's saying that.
You don't run a country on biblical law.
But I mean, it's the kind of thing that everyone can agree on. Christians and non-Christians alike.
You would wish that they could agree on that. you can't, but you would wish.
Like Sharia law, not a law that is necessary to ban because we have a separation between church and state, apparently.
Well,
I mean, you could...
Maybe not as strong as...
But we need to pass a law that banning the separation between church and state. The other thing that's ironic about this is that packaging an anti-Sharia law measure and an anti-abortion measure in the same law is interesting because the anti-abortion measure is a religious ideology that they're putting into law, and they're using that same law to talk about how they will not accept Sharia law.
Right.
Which is...
But they don't think it's... They don't think it's...
They don't think it's...
Law.
They just think
they
it's
think
moral.
It's a, they think it's moral. Well, and they think it's a... That, you know, they package it under a women's health law. So it's a health care law.
It's a health care law.
It's not a religious law.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It just bans women from getting health care.
Yeah. And it also prevents state health insurance companies under the Affordable Care Act from...
Offering policies that cover abortion.
Yeah.
This is not what you want. What you don't want is poor people not being able to afford abortion. You know? If you're going to ban abortion, rich people always get them anyway. This is the thing that no one talks about that is the unspoken truth. People have been getting abortions for centuries.
Yeah.
Women have always gotten abortions. They've been safer and less safe at certain times. They've been effective and ineffective at certain times. But women have always gotten abortions.
Yeah.
White middle-class women have always had access to them when they've needed them. Again, science and medicine have not always been the greatest, friends in those situations, but it's those are the people that have them anyway. So when you take away the funding for it, what it ends up hitting is the people who already can't afford to have the baby. And that's not what you want either. Yeah. Like, you sort of, like, don't... It's fine if you're of the ideology that, like, poor people are lazy and terrible, like these people seem to think.
Yeah.
But is it necessary to make it so that only they can't access abortions? Like, of all the people who maybe, you know, white middle class people maybe can afford to have an unwanted baby. You don't have services in place, though, for these other people to be having babies.
No.
If you don't want to pay for the services, you should pay for the abortion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's annoying. It's one of those laws, too, that just has, like, a variety of other things. It's maybe going to close every abortion clinic in the state except one or something. I'm sure it has regulations about, like, the width of the hallways that the abortion clinic has to have and, like, nonsense like that.
And they all have to have admitting privileges.
Yeah, and they all need admitting privileges in hospitals that won't allow abortion practitioners to get admitting privileges. Right. That's a big catch-22 because that no one talks about.
Yep.
In any case, North Carolina didn't stop there, though.
No.
Because they also wanted to make sure that no one could vote. That way, they never have to overturn
anything. They don't have to deal with any of this any longer. Yes. Well, and this comes straight to us from, well, it comes from North Carolina, but it comes directly from the Supreme Court, ultimately, with their sort of, you know, gutting of the
Welcome voting, to the end of the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, exactly. Because, well, and we talked about it, like, Texas's law that they had tried getting passed, basically, they sort of, like, got immediately into effect after the Voting Rights Act. And now North Carolina is getting in on the game because they've got a couple bills that they're going to start voting on that are some... bonkers.
Some of them real, like, bonkers. A taxi, like, what, wouldn't... Like, they're going to do the IDs at the poll thing.
That's like...
That's an old hat. Everyone tries that.
Like, everybody's gone down that road. Wisconsin did it. Right. I mean, various states have done this.
Colorado tries to do that.
Everybody...
Like, everyone's...
It's a classic maneuver.
Yeah.
But the ones, basically, like, who give you a tax penalty, like, if your children go to college and want to vote at school, as opposed
that
to,
is,
like...
Bonkers.
What? That's one of the things that they have a bill about. It, like, doesn't
First
even,
of all, do I these even, people want college students voting in their district?
I don't know.
Here's what happened.
I can't even wrap my head around
They do not want their... Because North Carolina has a big university.
They have big universities.
Yeah, they have multiple big universities. They have a big state university that's a really good school. They have other major universities there. They don't want those college students voting in North Carolina because they vote Democratic.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is.
This is... So bonkers that I can't even wrap my mind around it.
They're literally giving... It's a tax.
Yeah.
It's basically taxes.
They're
going to
raise taxes for the families of people who decide to vote at college where they live instead of in their parents' address.
Yep.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
my parents would have gotten lucky in this situation because I chose to vote at my parents' address the entire time I was in college.
Sure.
But this is... North Carolina is the kind of state that you go to and you change your voter registration if you're from a safe state because
you want
your vote to count. You know, if you go to Wisconsin, you change your voter registration. So this is some sneaky bullshit.
Oh my gosh. And they also, of course, want to end early voting and same day registration. That's another classic tactic, which didn't work out so well.
Didn't work in Florida.
That's the other thing, like, about these, like, there's just so many, like, all the people who are passing the anti-abortion laws, like, they don't understand that they're, like, galvanizing the other side. And I also just, like, to anybody who sort of is trying to pass these voter ID bills right now, if they didn't see, like, all it does is make sure people
vote.
Yeah. Because
What happened in Florida.
That's what happened
in Florida. People waited till 1 a.m. Like, they made them wait till 1 a.m. and they did it. Because they were
they
like,
got in
fuck
line.
You, I'm going to vote.
They waited. They shortened the early voting days.
Yeah.
And they waited in line literally for... People waited in line for hours and hours and hours and hours. And the only reason that they did it, it wasn't because they were trying to vote for Obama.
It was a big
because
fuck
they were
you
trying
to the voter ID.
To vote.
To the voter... the voter registration
to anybody
laws,
in North Carolina
laws.
Who didn't pay attention to those things, pass this.
Yeah.
By all means.
See what happens.
Get it done. And let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
because it's a surefire way to get this
to get,
turned
to get out
next
the vote.
Year. Yeah. It
is. It's a great way to get out the
because
vote.
Because once people start feeling like they can't vote, which is the only thing that basically
makes
this
them a citizen.
Fucking country is built on,
then
the only way to get the only way to have your voice heard is to make sure that you do vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, they already Rick Scott reversed some of those laws because they were so unpopular.
Yeah.
And because it made sure that every single African-American resident of Florida
voted. Yep.
They were willing to go through any lengths to vote because that's what makes you a citizen.
Yep.
That's your right.
Well, and because they've had it, you know, they've had it fucked with so much.
Yeah. So yeah, and it got so much press.
As soon as you start feeling like it's going to go away again,
yeah,
then there's just such an urgency to go do it.
No, this is crazy. It's going to... It's stupid because they already gerrymandered all these districts. Wasn't that enough? They could have kept winning for centuries because it doesn't matter how many people vote Democratic. The House goes Republican regardless.
It's true.
More people vote Democratic every year for House seats than they do Republican seats.
Right.
And more Republicans get elected every year. They've already gerrymandered the whole freaking thing.
Yeah.
Why do they also need to prevent people from voting? This just makes people vote.
Yeah.
The gerrymandering thing is sneaky and nefarious, and no one finds out about it, and everyone just sort of, like, sits at home and cries about it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, this gets people motivated. This gets someone like Obama elected.
They're
real foolish.
It's foolish. I think it only proves that they're dumb.
Well, yes.
I don't have anything more profound to say than that. They're dumb. They're dummies.
They've proven that. There's one thing they've proven, scientifically.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they don't... Of course, getting someone like Obama elected maybe is meaningless anyway because Obamacare is falling apart.
I know. Yeah, his one sort of like shining achievement basically is
slowly
apparently not happening at all. Basically, because we found out this week that one of the big portions of the Obamacare bill, the Affordable Care Act, is being pushed off by a year, and of course, everyone is jumping on it as proof that there's a situation.
I think that everyone has actually been over dramatizing this quite a bit. Because this only affects large companies. This is basically, as I was, you know, I posted this on our website and I was sort of like, should we call this the Papa John's law? This is in response to the Papa John's CEO and the Applebee's CEO and all of those people from all those service industry, low pay jobs that don't want to provide health insurance.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the personal mandate.
No.
And it doesn't affect any, so ultimately it will affect people in the service sector. But they will just have to go buy insurance themselves, and there will be so much pressure on these companies that when this finally goes into effect, they won't be able to fight it.
I'm annoyed because I know.
I think it was a weak-looking move, and I wish that he could have thought of some way to deal with this situation that was just more like being like, fuck you, Papa John's, and less like, oh, okay, we'll just stop.
Yeah.
We'll push our legislation off.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, it looked weak. It's already an unpopular law. Just in terms of, like, when you ask people whether they're in name, exactly. And it also just sort of, like, gives the other side, like, a reason to, I mean, there's a response from John Boehner who was sort of like, you know, this is obviously, it's because they know that this law is going to be a huge debacle or
a train wreck
or whatever. And I saw on Meet the Press this morning, they showed a tweet from Eric Cantor who said, you know, if they can delay it for the businesses, like, shouldn't they be able to delay it for citizens of the nation or whatever the fuck it was? But, like, I mean, it's just, it looks bad more than actually being bad.
Yeah. And that's what they're famous
and
for
that's
doing.
Bad. That's, yeah, it
that's,
is. They are.
Obama is famous for looking weak in the face of anything.
Right.
He'll opt to look weak.
Right. When he could have done
not looking weak,
right.
He'll choose looking weak as the option that he wants to go with.
Yeah.
So it's annoying. I certainly hope that this isn't some sort of omen of things to come. I'm banking on 2014 rolling around because at some point in my life, I'd like to be able to afford my own health insurance. I liked being freelance. I would like to do it again one day.
Right. I know.
But
I've never been freelance. That might be nice.
It might be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could go full time into the podcasting business.
Yeah, exactly.
The moneyless, but we'll be buying our own insurance in that business because we certainly won't have an employer.
No.
But
oh boy. So
yes. A Jill Reisman special coming up.
Jill Reisman special coming up. Yeah, exactly. There was a plane crash at the San Francisco airport.
That conveniently happened moments before I got on a plane.
Right. So Lila knew about it as she was getting on a plane to fly back from Los Angeles. But I sort of hadn't really been paying attention to the story because it's not the type of story that I normally pay attention to. So my first instinct was, where do I find out everything I need to know about the plane crash? And immediately I knew it was CNN. And I was 100% correct. Because
they're running a loop.
If you need to know anything about this or the George Zimmerman trial, you can find it at CNN.
So true.
You cannot find anything about what's going on in Egypt, which we're going to talk about in a second. Even Fox News was talking about Egypt when I was after I flipped to CNN because I sort of like that's a new thing that I'm doing.
You're sort of like traveling around.
The cable news stations.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
you're probably
CNN
not getting a lot of information that way.
They had exclusive video that none of the networks never had. They had pilots. They had aviation attorneys.
They called all their fake specialists.
Every single person. They had somebody from coming, like, reporting from Heathrow. Like, they had, like,
as
some
if
British
London
person.
Is somehow
they, like, they had, they, like, they would be some sort of bigger expert than we might have here.
Well, they had a British accent, probably.
They had a British accent.
They sounded more like an expert.
Literally, CNN has just become an embarrassment. I mean, I don't even know what to say. They should be embarrassed for themselves.
An entertainment news network.
Not to say that this story should be discounted because
two people
died. 180 people got sent to local hospitals.
Given the way that it's received, the kind of coverage it's received, I saw that it happened, and then I tuned out.
Well, you asked me earlier
and
today if everybody
earlier
died.
And I asked earlier if everyone died, and Brent was like, well, no, only two people died. And right. I was like, oh.
Like a third of the plane literally just like
walked
off, and they were like, well, that sucked.
And then I was sort of like, is this, like, obviously you want to cover something like this, but is it necessary to fill a 24-hour news cycle? Is it the only news story today? No.
No. Well, it is. It's the best news story.
It's the most sensationalistic news story.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You can call a lot of experts in. We can grip onto a fear that everyone has about flying, because flying is weird, because
exactly.
You have no visible means of support, and so you
well,
wonder whether how you're in the air.
The way, of course, there's no sort of, like, totally official statements yet, but I think also people were sort of, like, grasping onto this because it seems, for all the world, as though it may be some, like, operator error,
yeah.
Which I think also just makes it more sensational because I think
right.
that if someone would have just found out that, like, something happened to the engine, then
right,
you
then
would
everyone
have been,
would
like,
be like, oh, what can
well,
you do? But now
sucks.
We have a person
happens.
We can
but it's
blame.
Just sort of like, I know, it sounds like we're going to be able to attach some blame, which is great. And, of course, the pilots are still alive.
Right.
But,
well, here's the thing that my cousin who works in aviation told me. And he works, I think, for a company that basically built airplanes. Plane crashes are always operator error. There are, every once in a while, something goes wrong, but it's rare that a mechanical error actually brings down a plane. Oftentimes, pilots recover from mechanical errors because having a pilot is the only thing that prevents you from not dying in a situation where the plane that's basically flying itself does something weird.
Well, right.
But the planes basically fly themselves. So it really, it's only landing and takeoff that are the danger zones. Once you're in the air, it's rare that something happens. And it is almost always operator error because it's more likely that in the 6 hours between flying, you know, takeoff and landing, something weird will happen to your plane.
Yeah.
Then during the 3 seconds of landing and takeoff, that also happens to be the moment that, like, your plane doesn't land.
Right.
So it's and people crash cars. I mean, this happens with motorized transport.
Well, right, exactly. I mean, it shouldn't, and you don't
it
want
shouldn't,
it to.
You don't want it,
it
to, but sometimes you make a mistake. Sometimes, and especially in airplanes, the wind blows a weird way. You can't always know
well,
what's going to happen.
This sounds like, you're right. I mean, this, and who knows, we'll probably find out more in the next couple of days. I mean, this just
I'm sure
happened.
We'll find out nothing but more.
This just happened last night, but I mean, what it sounds like is that they came in too low, and they were going much too slow, and then it was, like, 7 seconds beforehand that, like,
yeah.
they sort of, like, called for more power, and then, like, 2 or 3 seconds or something beforehand that they basically wanted to do, I think, like, it's called, like, a go-around or something
right,
like that.
Right, where they
which
take
is,
back off.
Which is basically where you, yeah, go back yeah. up and then loop around and then, like, re-land. But it was, like, way too late, and there weren't mechanical issues. It doesn't seem like the
yeah.
engines were working fine. People who were on the plane reported that there was sort of, like, engines revving sort of, like, at the last second, which would sort
indicate.
Of corroborate, like, what
yeah.
they were saying that they heard on the black box because they tried to give it more juice to get back up in the air at the end, and obviously the engines were working
right.
because
but they do that anyway on landings.
I don't know.
You can hear the engines rev just before you touch down. I would know because I was on a plane last night.
right. Probably thinking about every single thing.
Thinking about this and very worried because I did not feel our plane touch down, and I was thinking to myself, my God, we better touch down sooner. We're going to run out of runway. We just had one of those landings that you never get anymore because of whatever reason people
yeah.
aren't flying well anymore. We had a touchdown that you couldn't feel on my plane last night.
Oh, yeah.
And
you had a heroic landing.
I had a heroic landing. I hate United Airlines. I was flying United. I've had issues with them in the past. They've
sure.
canceled flights that I've been on and been jerks about it and whatever.
Yeah.
I once waged a Twitter war against them.
Oh, that's right. I remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. The last time
that
I had did the same route, too. This was the exact same
oh,
route. I had a whole Twitter war against them. I was furious. But this plane landed in a way that... I remember when I was a kid, sometimes planes would land this way, and I would always be like... I would always wait for those landings when you couldn't feel the plane touch down. You never get those anymore, I think, because they're just coming in a lot faster than they used to, and the plane, the way that they fly in is a little different for noise reasons.
Maybe.
Because I think they descend a lot more quickly than they used to. Yeah. But it was picture-perfect landing. Couldn't have been smoother.
Nice.
I congratulated the pilot on the way out. I felt like someone should.
Yeah.
Because it's so rare that you get those these days.
Right.
So in any case, in the face of terrible tragedy... I experienced an act of heroism on my own flight.
That's great.
But yeah, I also actively have been avoiding this plane crash news because...
Yeah. Well, you're not watching CNN.
Because I'm not watching CNN. I had a moment today where I was like, should I watch CNN? Because I was just sort of curious what was going on before the podcast. And instead, I decided to watch Love It or List It on HGTV. And
probably
I
a better option.
Both regretted that decision and felt good about it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That show was so dumb.
It's worse.
And now they have a second one.
I know.
They're listed two.
I know.
Like, they didn't even name it anything different. They just gave different people a different number.
It's
so ridiculous.
It's sort of the most mind-numbing show. Like, I like a good home design show as much as the next person.
I love House Hunters. I had to watch that a couple times to even realize what was going on.
Plus... a home design show, and I just sort of like some. If you're gonna remodel the home, just fucking remodel it.
Yeah.
Don't also make me look at other houses. It's confusing.
You know what I saw the other day?
What?
On HGTV? Island Hunters.
Island Hunters?
Have you
hunters?
Seen this?
No.
People buying islands.
That's a
their
thing.
Their own personal islands. Yes.
There's enough islands to buy that they could
like
have a show
they were
about
like,
this?
Apparently.
That's fascinating.
I mean, maybe it was a one off, but it didn't seem like it. It seemed like.
Just Island Hunters, just. That for yeah. those people out there looking for islands.
Yeah. I think this was... I think I was flipping back and forth between that and...
No, sure.
Pregnant Mary.
Yeah.
This is over Lauren's house. This was like the night before... This was July 3rd.
The two greatest of the...
late night TV marathon.
It was yes.
just awful.
Terrible television.
Just like the worst two things that were on TV at the time.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
We had also watched Toddlers and Tiaras early in the
Well,
evening.
Of course you had. If I know That's anything. So mm-hmm. Watch yep. that. Anyway.
And Big Brother.
Ew. I've known you to watch Big Brother, though.
I've watched yeah. every episode of Big Brother that's ever been on television.
Yeah. I've only watched one, and it was because I was at Brent's house, and he was watching Big Brother.
Yeah, it's awful.
Terrible. One of the dumb shows out there.
It's one of the last shows. So many things make me happy about that show. It's like one of the last shows that's in SD.
It's still in SD?
Yeah, they don't broadcast in HD. It's literally like the lowest
stupid to...
rent operation, like on not just network television, but potentially all
television.
Could we set
our own Big Brother show?
Yes.
Because anyone could, right?
We could
just set up some iPhone.
Camera on right now and we would be having it.
An SD camera, we're all set to go.
But have you heard all of the drama with that this year? Because, like, the cameras run all the time, obviously.
I haven't heard any of the drama,
well,
Big Brother.
Let me tell you, because it's moderately appropriate for what we're doing here. They have caught a lot of the contestants this year saying, like, very, very racist and homophobic things.
Ooh!
And they...
Drama!
Like, because they show the live feeds
right.
online all the time, and they also have, like, Big Brother After Dark or whatever, which is on, like, TV Guide Network. It used to be on Showtime. I don't know how TV Guide Network is showing it, because that's when they show all the sort of, like, sketchy stuff that, like, they don't put in, like, the actual CBS broadcast. But a couple of the people have been fired from their jobs, and they don't know it.
Oh, drama.
Yeah. Because,
Big
like, literally
drama.
Just, like, saying really, 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 like... Terrible things. Like, as if they don't know the cameras are always rolling.
I wonder a lot about what people are up to when
this is,
in these reality
scenarios. I was saying to
scenarios.
Someone, they know. But also, I was saying to somebody earlier in the week, like, I mean, they always have, like, a bunch of dummies on that show, but I think this cast of this season may be the dumbest grouping of people that has ever been collected in one place.
In,
ever.
Great. That's, I'm sure, quality television.
It's, well, sometimes.
It's... Television.
So it's television. Anyway.
Oh, we have jobs numbers.
Oh, God, I know.
They're so boring. Job numbers are the worst.
Like,
I hate when we have jobs so reports. Right.
For various reasons. A, because somehow for, like, the last 2 years, they've always
been
the same. Or wrong. They've been the same or wrong. They're always just sort of, like,
usually.
Maybe a little better than expected, but the unemployment rate still somehow magically went up or down by
right.
one-tenth of a point, and then, like...
Yeah.
Something happens, like, and we find out months later that they were off by half of, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, it's just...
So if you just could assume what you already know about the jobs numbers...
They happened last month.
That's what happened again. It was more...
They beat expectations.
Sort of.
Until we find out that they didn't.
Right. And then we'll, at some point we'll know they didn't.
Because economists...
As for now, we can celebrate.
Right. Economists, like, I think predicted, like, 161,000. Like, right, first off, such an arbitrary number.
Right.
But, like, then they came up
you
with,
know,
like,
the old... The Well, and they get these numbers just by randomly cold calling people, so who even knows?
Yeah, it's like a...
It's like,
it's like a, it's like a lunchtime poll,
it's not
basically.
Very scientific.
Like, that's what it is. Yeah.
So, and we added 195,000.
Right. Woo. And lost more government jobs.
Yeah, as usual.
Figures. That's what we've
hemorrhaging government jobs.
We are, yeah.
And unemployment stayed the same.
Yeah.
Because...
What?
Nobody knows. Because all of these numbers don't relate to each other in any way. They're just random numbers which are out there. So now you know that, which is new.
That happened.
What you probably do know is that Egypt is in the midst of some chaos.
I was really... Another aside here, but there was... I had to fight someone a while ago about whether we should be going on vacation to Egypt.
Oh, right.
Our friend Kevin, because we were planning a vacation in November, and I was like... We cannot go to Egypt. And this was before this even happened. And earlier in the week, I sent him a link about all these protests. And I was like, still want to go to Egypt? And I felt very vindicated by this.
Well, you had
as
to.
Sort of terrible as it potentially is. Really made me happy because it made me feel correct about something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But Egypt is having
some
growing pains.
There's some in Egypt.
There's,
yes.
there's some democratic growing pains going on in Egypt.
Yes. Well, one thing that you realize sometimes after you have a democratic election is that you didn't necessarily elect the right person.
Right.
It happens.
And that you don't...
We elected the wrong person twice with George Bush. And
we've done
we
it
sort
before.
Of, like, didn't realize it
We
until,
elected well, Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
You know?
Did.
Ronald Reagan got elected with overwhelming majorities.
Yeah, twice. You can't always get it right,
you
people.
You don't always know.
And Egypt, for a country that's... They're new at it.
They're new at it.
they don't
have patience for bullshit at the moment, which
no.
they shouldn't. No one should. So, Morsi was sort of stepping up his Islamic Brotherhood game, and they were sort of like, no.
Nope.
That's not why we overthrew
no.
Mubarak.
Well, and I don't sort of, like, know all of the details of his rule, but not only was he sort of, like, stepping up the Muslim Brotherhood game, whatever that may be, but they also were talking a lot about this on Meet the Press this morning, and basically, like, everyone's sort of, like, conclusion was that he was also sort of, like, incompetent.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah,
it wasn't
for sure.
It wasn't just that he was sort of, like, a wacko.
He was farther
that, like,
right than they thought, and he also was not good at his job.
Right.
He was both of those things, which is a terrible combination.
Right. So it's sort of like, it's this weird thing where it's sort of like a win, because now someone from the Muslim Brotherhood is not running Egypt. But
right.
it's also sort of like a loss for democracy, because basically it was a military coup.
Right.
I mean, for the most part. I mean, the
but
people the
it
people
was a military coup
led by the people.
Led by the people.
For sure.
It was the will of the people. The military was carrying out, the military was acting democratically in carrying out the will of the people,
sure,
in a way.
Exactly.
I have often posited that you can't always know how democracy is going to be carried out, because it's not...
Sometimes it's with the military, too.
Democracy is not as simple as, like, well, the U.S. just installs a democracy somewhere, and then the right person gets elected, even though the U.S. paid for them to get elected and bought the election or whatever.
Right.
Like, democracy is a broader process, and every country is, in a sense, democratic when they aren't being... Or when they aren't being... sort of, like, led by another country, basically. The U.S. sort of prevents democracy from happening in a lot of democracies.
Sure.
But...
Because
they install
people.
Democratic leaders, in quotes.
Sure.
But this is one of those examples where I feel like they were new at it, they tried their best the first time, they realized that they didn't make the right decision, so they had a military coup that was sort of... It was... The military stepped in because it was so unstable.
Well, right.
And it was unstable because people were unhappy. Because people in Egypt are not trying to live in some sort of Islamic Brotherhood type situation.
No.
They're just trying to live in a freaking country where they can just go about their business and do what they do. So, I feel sort of... I have mixed feelings about how all of this is going on. I don't fully understand what's going on.
Sure.
But I do feel like it's some sort of step towards something, because it's an evolving situation still. It always has been an evolving situation, but I'm glad that, like, some guy who wasn't very good got elected, and usually in the Middle East when that happens, everyone just sort of gets screwed. And
yeah.
This time, they were, you know, young people in Egypt were sort of like, no, wait a minute, no, we didn't overthrow our dictator so that we could have this bullshit happening.
Right, exactly.
So, no. And I sort of feel good about that.
Right. And so, they're sort of, like, in the process of trying to find an interim
right.
prime minister.
That's also going chaotically,
that
as you might imagine.
Only, right. And so, because basically they sort of decided on this guy whose name I'm not even going to attempt to say.
El Baradei or whatever his name
yeah.
is. No one can say
but
his name.
But he's sort of on the more progressive side of things, yeah. who won the Nobel Peace Prize. And, of course, the, you know...
then the Islamicist people got all up in arms.
Right.
It's chaotic.
It is chaotic, and it's hard, too. Yeah. I mean, this is not going to be easy for them to solve. It's not going to be solved overnight. They're probably going to have some more issues. But they're going to have to come up with a new constitution. It's something for them to work out, but they really are... They're going to have to start over sort of almost yet again. I mean, this is... It's messy, and it's going to continue to be messy for a while.
This is something where, I mean, Islamists and progressive people sort of ended up working together to get rid of Mubarak. That was one of the big achievements of that, you know, massive uprising they had, was that it sort of took a lot of crazy different factions, and they were all sort of like, okay, what we can agree on is that this is not working.
Right.
Like, living under a dictatorship is not working for us. I feel like it's so rare that any country in the third world period, let alone in the Middle East, get any sort of self-determination, that I'm just sort of like interested to see where this goes. Because this is something that every country in the Middle East is going to have to work out. This is not just Egypt. There are Islamists and progressive people in every country in the Middle East. There's, you know, Syria has this problem. Like, any country that is not currently being led by some sort of horribly repressive dictator basically is having to work this out on the fly.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the modern problem in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it's exciting that a country that really does sort of have the ability to work this out without being totally overshadowed by the United States is getting the opportunity, only because with these smaller countries, we just intervene. And then, you know, it goes the way of Iraq, and there's just a civil war.
Right. I mean, and Egypt
And if they have a civil war now, it's not because we caused a civil war. It's on them that they had the civil war. Well, but it's when we cause a civil war, that's when I feel bad about what's going on in the Middle East, you know?
Well, and Egypt is the most populous of the sort of, you know, Islamic sort of, you know, Middle Eastern countries. But, you know, I think it'll take a while. But, I mean, there's no reason to think that... Well, there is reason to think that it can't be done, I suppose. But, I mean,
only reasons to think it can't be done. But let's see them defy expectations.
But I think it can be.
I think it can be done.
I mean...
Well, also, so, like, at some point, some country in the Middle East is going to have to figure out how they're going to proceed with... You know, we and the U.S. are still figuring out how to proceed, because we have hardline Christians that we have to constantly deal with. That's why we have. That's why we just brought you a ton of abortion news at the beginning of this podcast.
We have an imperfect democracy.
We have an imperfect democracy
but there is
as well.
At least place for the crazies. Right. I mean, like they're just there. They can get elected if they want to get elected.
But we have a history of we're a country that formed because we were already crazies that were thrown out of another country.
True.
We're a country that formed to be inclusive.
Yeah.
And whether or not we're succeeding at that at the moment, we have historically succeeded at being inclusive. That is the purpose of our constitution.
Yeah.
Egypt has to decide what kind of country they want to be. I hope that they will decide to be an inclusive country as well. But, like, they come out of a different tradition. They can't just follow the U.S.'s footsteps to do whatever. And it's so rare that any country... And there's not yet been a country, in fact, that has their sort of unique set of ideologies and sort of, you know... groups that need to work together that has figured out a way to govern independently. You know, we've intervened in every single part of the Middle East. And if we didn't, you know, the Russians did during the Cold War. The history of the Middle East is all about, you know, colonial interventions, American interventions. It's all intervention. The Middle East, the borders were formed by, you know, colonial interventions. They're all fake borders anyway, you know, but
at least Egypt is trying.
Egypt is trying. I'm excited that they're trying. I think that they have a precedent to set, so I hope that they take it serious. You know, I mean, they're taking it seriously because it's their country, but, like, I hope that they sort of figure something out that works for them, because I think that it will be a good example for... And even, you know, a lot of the countries that sort of have gone far into the sort of, like, religious crazy land of late, but haven't historically... Like, Iran wasn't historically, you know... wackadoo religious or anything like that. It was a very open society for a long time, and then they got sort of, they had the Shah and they got shut down.
Yep.
And they could see a blueprint in something like Egypt if Egypt could work it out. A lot of countries could see a blueprint in somewhere like Egypt. But it's sort of exciting that they sort of saw something that didn't work and they were like, no, that's not what we want. That's not what we did this for.
Right.
Screw you. I don't know what will happen now. Chaos. But probably. Also, Brazil is having chaos.
Right. And this has been going on for a while. We haven't talked about it yet. But, I mean, they literally had the streets in Rio. I mean, just
packed.
Flooded.
I know someone who's been at these protests. They've looked very
exciting. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, some of the pictures that were going on, like, of these protests were just really sort of, like, mind-boggling because, like, there were so many people. But it has basically started sort of, you know, over government transparency of,
well,
like, spending.
Well, it started, I think, because
funds.
Of the protests in Turkey. It was it basically, because I know someone who's Turkish who lives in South America and was very concerned about these Turkey protests. And as soon as they cropped up in Brazil, she was like, oh, my God. Like,
interesting.
They start, I mean, I think that was sort of like the spark. The issues are
right.
Brazil issues.
Right.
But,
well, yeah, it started over like a bus fares or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That. But the interesting thing is that they're also really protesting the spending of all of this public money
on
to get ready for the Olympics and the World Cup next year.
That's a popular choice in countries getting ready for the Olympics,
and,
yes.
Well, it is, but you know what?
But it's not somewhere quite so third world that's having to pay the money.
There was a lot of, you know, I remember when, you know, because a lot of people wanted Chicago to get those Olympics.
Right.
And Obama was even sort of like, you know, fighting for it. Remember when that was going on?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of, you know, a lot of people were excited that South America was going to have the Olympics for the first time, but there was a lot of concern
about how it would be paid for.
About how it was going to get paid for, just some of the issues that go on there, and not necessarily in Brazil, but just sort of in South America. But
there's a lot more infrastructure to put in a place like Brazil, not because, like, Rio is a fun city. It's got all the things that you think a city would have, including
sure.
astronomically wealthy people.
Yeah.
But it has types of crime and corruption problems that no other country that's ever hosted
right.
the Olympics has ever had.
Right, and it's a big concern.
And that's a big concern. Rio is the kind of place that you go and they tell you, like, you know, I don't know who they is, but hopefully
right.
someone is advising you when you
go
there.
Don't go to certain parts of it.
Not only don't go to certain parts of it, if something happens, do not contact the police. The police are too corrupt to contact.
Yes.
They have special tourist police in tourist areas that you can contact because you cannot go to a policeman and get help.
Yeah.
The policeman will rip you off again.
Yeah.
And that's partially because they're not paid enough and the whole city is so steeped in crime that it's chaos.
Right.
But, I mean, Brazil sort of had this leftist moment a few years ago and I think probably is, I mean, when New York was up for those London Olympics, I was sort of like, well, I don't want them to come to New York. We don't want to pay for that. Like, there's a lot of spending that goes along and a country like China gets away with it because they're sort of, you know, they're communists. They can sort of spend on whatever they want, and
yeah.
no one says anything.
And boy, did they.
They really put on a show.
Yeah.
I say that they should only hold the Olympics in communist countries. They do a great job.
In 100% agreement.
They're great event havers. If we want to bring North Korea into the world community, let them have an Olympics. They will do a fantastic job at
the Olympics.
No one in the country will eat for years preparing.
Yeah.
But they'll be the best Olympics we've ever had. Have you seen those mass games that they hold? They have their own Olympic opening ceremony once a year just for themselves.
Yeah.
Just so their leadership can feel proud of themselves or whatever. But communist countries are the way to go. A place like Brazil is touch and go. It's like when they held it in Athens.
Yeah.
It didn't really come together until the last possible second. And Athens at least was in Europe.
And Atlanta was
a
debacle up until the very last moment, too.
And we're talking about countries that have significantly more money.
And Salt Lake City. Remember how Mitt had to save the Salt Lake City Olympics?
Mitt came in, organized, businessmanned himself around or whatever. but I mean, we're talking about places that have access to kinds of money that Brazil does not. And are not in the kinds of debt that Brazil is. And so I can sort of see why people are maybe not thrilled about.
Yeah.
If I didn't want them to come to New York for tax reasons, I certainly can understand why people in Brazil are like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, you didn't want them to come to New York. Here's a city that I don't want them to come to.
Yeah.
And a city that they're not going to be coming to
because
it's hilarious. But Tulsa.
God.
Yes. Tulsa. I said Tulsa as in the city in Oklahoma.
The worst state on earth.
Is making a play for the 2024 Summer Olympics.
Olympic
and this is,
committee, we can confirm for you that this is not a place you want to hold the Olympics.
Do
you don't want to embarrass
the world's athletes. Once.
Yeah.
But there are various reasons why this is certainly not going to happen. I think it has like a third of the hotel rooms that it needs. It would need an 80,000 person stadium to accommodate this, like would have to get built. And I know a lot of times Olympic cities
build stadiums.
And it would also cost $5 billion. That's usually how much it costs, which is over half the operating
budget
for the entire state of Oklahoma.
Right.
So it's not going to
happen. So they don't have the money.
But the most hilarious part of this entire story is,
oh God,
the organizers are promised that the Olympic torch, or proposed that the Olympic torch be carried down the Trail of Tears to honor the state's Native American history.
Oh my God.
Let's talk briefly what the Trail of Tears was.
As it sounds, it was not a pretty sad trail.
Not what you would send the Olympic torch down if you wanted to honor to Native honor Americans.
Or honor any aspect of history. Like, of all the historical... First of all, Oklahoma's never had a happy historical thing happen, so that's why they had to propose this. Like, was the Dust Bowl the other option? The Oklahoma City bombing, maybe? Nothing happy has ever happened in Oklahoma, first of all. There was the musical Oklahoma. They could carry the torch... Actually, my cousin is moving to Oklahoma, and she said that... she said that they play music from Oklahoma on the radio there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, as if that's just, like, a thing that people are listening to out in the world. It's not. But
even though
of all of the terrible things, Brent loves musicals.
Michelle Queen.
Yeah. of all of the terrible things that have happened in Oklahoma, the Trail of Tears is the one that you would maybe want to forget the most.
Yeah.
Because everyone who's taken a history class knows that that's basically just the trail through which we like kick Native Americans out of their own land and then let them die of smallpox. It was an actual Trail of Tears. I would guess that people were crying for the entire trail.
Well, probably.
Because it was sad.
That's what you do when you're sad.
It was sad and it was mean.
Sad and mean. Yeah.
So in any case, that's why Tulsa, we can confirm that Tulsa will not be the host of the 2024
Olympics.
You heard
it here first.
If you're looking for some guidance in that area,
yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
We love
a good strike.
We love strike. Something is happening.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, this one's over.
I mean, it was happening.
I mean, not sadly. It's right. Good that they're going back to work, but
It's good that the negotiations work, but the BART workers...
In San Francisco
went on strike.
Which, if you haven't been on the BART in San Francisco, the BART's great.
Yeah, BART's great.
It really...
It's like the subway of San Francisco.
It does
but
the job.
It, you know, it's more like the Long Island Railroad of San Francisco. It goes to the outer sort of connecting... cities,
sure.
Like Berkeley and Oakland.
I enjoy riding the BART when I'm in San Francisco.
Yeah, I love a good public transportation experience.
I mean, San Francisco is small, but I mean, you can really just BART around.
If you're not willing to walk all the way around it, as you can do in a couple hours, then you can take BART around.
Yeah.
But yeah, P.S. I love a good transit strike. I've been in New York for transit strikes.
This one only lasted like 4 days, so it wasn't sort of exciting.
But that's for a transit strike, that's actually... quite a long time.
Yeah.
Because that's 4 days that people have to commute.
Right, exactly.
And can't get to work.
Right.
And so what happens is, like, you start getting to share cabs with people that you don't know and stuff. In New York City, when the last transit strike happened, you could negotiate cab fares all of a sudden. It was like being in a third world country. You could be like, listen, I will give you $20 if you take me down to blah, blah, blah. And we can pick up somebody on the way. But, like, suddenly the meters didn't mean anything. It was great.
It's a free-for-all.
It was a free-for-all. It was fun. I love negotiating cab fare. I did it last night.
You did?
I have a strategy. Here's a strategy that I'm now publicizing, so everyone's going to do it, and it's going to ruin my secret strategy. Cabs in Los Angeles would much prefer that you pay them in cash.
Oh, I mean everybody.
Everyone would. But cabs from the airport specifically, because cabs get assigned airport days. They don't like doing airport runs. They don't make as much money because they don't get as many pickups and drop-offs. So they get assigned days to go to the airport.
Interesting.
And so they don't like doing airport runs. And so, like, my cab driver was like, an airport run is the one time a cab in LA will not try to rip you off because they just want to get in and out as fast as they can because they keep having to come circle back.
Right.
So I know that it's going to cost roughly $45 to get to my house via cab. I carry $40 in cash and a card. This has worked like three times for me of the five times that I've taken a cab.
I only have $40 or a credit
card. What I say is, oh, I have a card, and then they always say, do you have cash? And I'm like, I only have $40, and they always take it. Always.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it's genius. So anyway, that's how you get a $40 cab fare.
From LAX
to West Hollywood. Yeah. This is regular Hollywood you can get to.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you can really... And it worked once from the Burbank airport, too. I only had $30 in cash that day.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, it's real. It's strategizing.
I like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
In any case, BART was on strike.
They hadn't had a pay...
They had a pay freeze for, like, 5 years.
5 years. And that was because, sort of, like, this city basically put them on a pay freeze because, like, they weren't making any money. But now, BART is sort of, like...
Making money.
And so they're sort of like, hello.
Yeah, you could pay us more.
Right.
This is a famous public transportation system move. This is like in New York, what they like to do is they claim that they're running at a deficit, and so they need to raise fares.
Well, this is...
Then it turns out they were cooking the books, and they raise the fares, and you can't unraise a fare once it's raised. So the fares just keep going up. It's never once been justified. No one gets paid enough because they keep acting like they're running on a deficit, and in fact, they're making a profit and not talking about it.
Yeah.
And then the operators get screwed, the customers get screwed. The only people that don't get screwed are the mysterious bookkeepers who are working for the city and somehow managing to keep the...
This is just sort of like, this isn't only happening with, like, wages and with government. I mean, like, this is...
Well, the other thing is, though, these are all partially privately owned.
Well, right. This is just sort of a classic maneuver for when...
An anti-labor
when the anti-labor, and also just sort of like whenever the economy goes south, it's just like a great excuse for like anybody to take anything away from you, and you have to fight to get it back. I mean, even just, you know, I mean, at my work, when the economy, quote, went south, like they sort of like stopped matching our 401k pay.
And they're not going to start again, seriously.
They're not going to start again out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just sort of like you do have to fight for things like this because like you're not going to have the government or private industry be like, oh yeah, right. No, but the
we
you know,
did want we meant
later,
to pay you more money.
Oh yeah, right.
Totally.
Yeah. So good for the BART workers. I hope they get a big
as we were talking
raise.
About last week. You can't uncook a chicken. There are certain things that are hard to undo once you've done them, and one of them is wage freezes and pay cuts.
Yeah.
Once you start taking stuff away from people, they never get it back.
Yeah. Or as I learned on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you can't unsuck a dick.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Another way of saying it,
which is. Not appropriate. Lila's mom is probably furious at me right now.
She's definitely
furious. My mom is probably furious at me right now. But at least
It was said.
It was said. It was said on a TV show first, Mom.
Yeah. You didn't think of it yourself. In any case, they don't actually have a deal yet. They
just
decided to go back to the negotiating table, and so they're giving them a month to reach a deal.
Right.
And then they're going to resume service in the meantime.
Yeah.
But at least, hopefully, they don't just strike a bad deal. That's a famous union move these days. Just going back to the negotiating table just in time to strike a terrible deal. God, we need to save unions, Brent.
God, I know. We talked about doing
that. We talked about doing that professionally, and then we never did. But we could do that. That could be once 2014 kicks in and we can afford health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
That could be our next move.
We can go freelance.
Yeah, we can go freelance labor union saving. Perfect.
Great.
Meanwhile, you would think that Paula Deen would have been out of the news by now, but you'd be wrong.
She may be racist, but she's... Also clever.
Yeah.
Because this is a real gem of a story.
Yeah.
Because basically Paula Deen is using the Supreme Court's Prop 8 decision to get
out... Real snap decision-making, too.
To get out of her own situation that she's in right now. I mean, she didn't think of this. Her lawyers did, obviously.
No.
But, Justice Kennedy, or Justice...
Roberts.
Roberts, excuse me, basically wrote in his decision that this was the, this is the Prop 8 case, basically, where they said that the people who brought that case didn't have any standing because they didn't suffer a concrete and particularized injury that is traceable
to the conduct of the person that they challenged.
Right, exactly.
Basically, the people that brought the case had nothing to do with anything, and they were just suing for humanity or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So Paula Deen is basically saying, using that, because the woman who is bringing this suit is white.
Yeah.
So she obviously, she wasn't...
Personally injured.
She wasn't personally hurt by the racism.
Yeah.
She just sort of, you know, was
angry about it generally.
Was angry about the racism and declared that Paula Deen's a racist. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's clever.
It's clever.
But she's also, does that get her out of the...
Being a racist?
Because the suit was also brought against her and her brother. And the brother, I think, was like sort of like, wasn't there like some sexual business going on too?
I don't know that this suit goes away with this argument.
I don't think it does.
I also don't know that this covers racism the same way. Because I think you could argue that racism is offensive... to everyone in a way that other people getting married is not.
Sure.
Like, if you're using language that is derogatory, it sort of affects the dynamic of the entire community in a way that other people getting married has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Because they're not actively doing anything to you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
That said, I'm not a lawyer in this case, so I don't know what defense they'll go with. But
no, that's true. Or you're not a judge.
I'm not a judge either.
No.
I don't even know enough about courtroom terminology to know what I would have been in that case in order to make that decision. I was having to write a synopsis for work of a book that was about, like, it was a courtroom drama.
Oh,
and I kept having to IM my friends and be like, if you're the person that brings a suit in a civil suit, what are you called? And they would be like, plaintiff. And I'd be like, okay. But, like, I kept having to check legal terminology because I just couldn't remember. It's so hard.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Happy 4th.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Right, yes. An hour into the podcast. An hour. Basically. The 4th of July happened this week, in case you didn't realize.
Happy birthday, America. Everybody knew.
Oh, gosh. Some crazy gun activists. They were... This guy, Adam Kokesh, I guess. He's, like, a libertarian gun activist. And he had sort of, like, at one point called for, like, this big, like, rally that they were going to have with, like, gun owners, like, where they were all
going to bring their guns.
Like, an armed rally, like, on, what's it, a Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. And then sort of, like, the government sort of was like, no, don't be doing that. And
you know where they have gun control laws is in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. And so then they sort of, like, canceled it, and, like, he sort of, like, told people to go to, like, their local state houses with their firearms, and, like, it sort of, like, turned into a non-event. But he himself, this guy, Adam Kokesh, or whatever the hell his name is, went to Freedom Plaza and basically, like, taped a YouTube video where he had a loaded gun.
He loaded a shotgun
in the video.
And
basically, like, declared that he was
ready
taking up arms against America, basically, is what he declared.
Yeah.
I mean...
We will not allow our government to destroy our humanity. We are the final American Revolution. See you next Independence Day.
Yes.
Which is creepy.
He has also compared himself to Gandhi.
Yeah, mysteriously.
Which is a head-scratcher.
Well, but then he said... Then he goes on about how, like, but the government has pushed us so far that we can't just have nonviolent revolution. What is a nonviolent revolution by gun nuts entail?
I don't know.
Like, if your nonviolent revolution is just so that you can have the right to bear arms, is that a nonviolent... Even if there, if no shot is fired during that revolution, is it nonviolent?
It's
so many questions.
Question, if a tree falls.
Exactly.
Us, right, yeah. Oh,
classic.
Boy.
And finally...
Oh, this is in our...
We mentioned this earlier.
This is...
California's not as uncrazy as you'd want it to be.
No. Well, and I think that, like, so many people, like, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, obviously the bulk of California's population is in its very large cities that we have. I mean, it's in Los Angeles, it's in San Francisco, it's in San Diego, it's in San Jose. But the bulk of the geography of this state is...
Made up of crazies.
Made up of crazy people.
Yeah.
Like... Really, 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 really crazy
legitimate crazies.
And one of them is running for the United States House coming up here, actually. She ran unsuccessfully for something, California Treasurer in 2010.
Which I don't know that I would trust her with our money.
No, you wouldn't. She's a total loon. Her name is...
Mimi Walters.
Yeah. anyway, but she is...
She's running for... John Campbell's seat, who
who's
represents
retiring.
A Republican district in California.
And but basically her main funder for this, who has given her money in the past, and he's given sort of like a lot of money to like crazy groups, but he was for decades on the board of this group called the Christian Reconstructionist Organization, and basically he funded that organization ultimately.
Right.
And it basically wants to implement full
biblical
law.
As we discussed, that neither Brent or I would want earlier in this podcast.
Even as a Christian.
They want to literally follow the book of Leviticus.
Yeah.
Including death by stoning for gay and lesbian people, and similar execution for adulterers, juvenile delinquents, non-believers, and most other Americans. Brent and I would both be stoned under these laws.
Yep.
Which is not fair.
No,
because we pay our taxes, happily. We're good citizens.
Like, I just... What? This is like some, like, South Carolina bullshit.
Yeah.
Right here is
this
is.
Some,
coming
this
to you
is,
from California, from the left
like
coast.
This is some Mississippi bullshit. Yeah. Like, this is the kind of stuff that comes out of the least educated, poorest state in the Union.
It is.
But here we are, right in California.
Yeah.
Where all of the gays and non-believers have accumulated.
I know.
For the entire, like, left half of the country.
Yeah. And she may win.
Yeah.
People... Would
and
be surprised
to
know that California may elect someone like this, but we would.
Yeah. We're those kind of people, unfortunately.
We are.
It's interesting that she will then become part of a caucus that represents a state that mostly has, where most of the population would be stoned, according to her laws. I mean, if you're looking for a heavy population of adulterers... Hollywood, hello. juvenile delinquents, non-believers, gays and lesbians.
All right here.
You found it in between Los Angeles and San Francisco. We really have this whole side of the country covered. Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
So, it would really empty out California in an interesting...
That's true.
Go back to being... Turn it red.
Maybe that's their master plan.
Go back to being the Wild West.
Implement biblical law.
get rid of the entire population of California.
Yeah.
In any case,
she's terrible.
She's terrible, so she'll probably get elected, and we'll probably have to deal with her.
She's probably, like, the district that represents, like, Bakersfield or something like that.
And she probably will participate in votes to repeal Obamacare for the 40,000th time.
Oh, for sure.
That's probably what we can expect from
her. She's been voting on that in her mind for ages.
She just dreams about the moment. The moment she'll cast that vote.
Yeah. Maybe she can be the new Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, interesting.
We need
Do we know if she speaks like a crazy person?
I don't know. We should find out.
It would be worse if she didn't. If she spoke like a sane person but was... she couldn't
those
possibly.
Are who you have to watch.
She couldn't possibly, though. She's talking about putting Leviticus on people. The books. Like, that's wrong. In any case, that's the news this week. Contact your state legislature if you live in one of those states where they're passing those restrictive abortion measures.
Seriously.
And tell them to check themselves.
Well said.
Because someone has to.
Yeah.
And we will be back next week with hopefully not more news like this week. This week is terrible. Hopefully next week will all be funny things.
I know. Remember
said.
When we got to talk about Prop 8?
It was only last week.
I know.
And yet it feels like months ago.
So exciting.
So exciting.
And then this week.
Then this week.
Downer city.
Yeah, total downer city. So try to make good things happen. Not in your mind like people in California would tell you to do. I'm not suggesting
real.
That.
In life.
For real. Act. Do action-y things. Write a letter or something.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.